The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week is Parashas Kisiso, but also because today is Shushan Purim. The day after Purim, I'd like to devote the shiur, this year also, to a few notes on the Megillas Esther. And also, I am sure that everyone is almost, at least everyone or almost everyone, is very, very tired from the Simchas Purim yesterday. So we'll make this shiur rather a light shiur and not too long. Just to mention three notes on the Megillas Esther. Last week we spoke about Haman, who was Seirei Kol HaYehudim. He was the enemy of all of the Jews. And he was the Reish LaMolech, the most notorious and infamous seed of Amolech, which was Rotzeh LaHashmi LaHareg Es Kol HaYehudim. He had desires, and not only desires, but he came within a hairbreadth to fulfilling his desires, to destroy every Jewish man and woman and child in the world. Nevertheless, the sages refer to Purim as a cheshek v'sei cheshek, a double darkness, because we had another enemy also, and that was Achashverosh. Achashverosh was the king of Modai Paras. And he was a mighty king. The Gemara tells us that there were very few kings in history that ever ruled from one end of the world to the other. One of those very few was Ahasuerus. Kufchav Zayin Medinos, 127 states, this was the entire civilized world. And Modai Paras were from the Dalet Malkiyos, the four great empires which emerged during history, and each one stood up against Israel. And Ahasuerus actually, in some ways, was more dangerous than Haman, because it is true that Haman was the Girui. He was the one who incited Ahasuerus. But Haman would have been powerless to do anything. Certainly, to annihilate an entire nation without the authority of Ahasuerus. And that was the Mesiras HaTabas, where he gave his ring of authority to Haman and said, Atel be'einecho yaseh. Do as you see fit. Except because the Megillas Esther was written by Mordechai and Esther, and the Jews, while they were subjects to Ahasuerus, they were not allowed to express this openly. So when one reads the Megillas Esther, gives the impression that Ahasuerus was just sort of an innocent bystander. But this is not true at all. They had to give that impression. But that is the nigla, that is the open meaning. But the Chazal, the sages, darshan in many, many places in Megillas Esther, the Remizes, that when they wrote the Book of Esther, they wrote it also b'remizo, with many, many concealed inferences, which will tell us just how much of a Rosha Ahasuerus was. Now one example of this is that right at the beginning of Megillas Esther, it states, Vayhi bimei Ahasuerus, hu Ahasuerus, HaMelech Mehedu Ve'at Kush. It was in the days of Ahasuerus, He is the Ahasuerus who reigned from Hodu at Kush. Why does it repeat itself? It was the days of Ahasuerus. He is the Ahasuerus who reigned from Hodu at Kush. The Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah Daf Yud Aleph Omer Aleph. Hu Ahasuerus, hu Berishai mitchilosei v'ad sefer. This is to tell us that this is the Ahasuerus. Berishosei, just like he was a wicked man in the beginning, he was an arch enemy, a wicked man also in the end. And the Gemara goes on to tell us that wherever it states who, he, this is an emphasis to designate that there is something very exclusive about this person. So who Ahasuerus means there's something very, very exclusive about this person. He was Berishosei mitchilosei v'atseif, that he was exclusive in his wickedness from the beginning until the end. Maral explains that why is the Gemara telling us this? That we should realize that everything that good that came to us, because many, many wonderful things came to us from Purim. Esther was elevated. She became a queen of the world. And Mordechai became Mishneh LeMelech. And the royal signet ring of authority was given to Mordechai. And the house of Haman was given to Mordechai and so forth. This is to tell us this was not really Ahasuerus' doing. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doing. He just was Megalgul. He manipulated the events of history that it should come through Ahasuerus' hands. He put Ahasuerus in a situation where he had little choice. So all the good things that came to us from Purim did not come from the Malchei Modai or Paras, from the kings of Persia. It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Gemara brings, this Gemara, actually it's a Medrash. The Maral brings the Medrash. Esther Aleph, Oz Beis, that there were Chamishal Ra'a v'Chamishal Teva. That in the history we find that there were five that who was written by, and they were exclusive in their wickedness. And there were another five that who was written by, the Hebrew word who, and they were exclusive in their righteousness, in their goodness. The Halara, the five that were exclusive in evil, was Hu Hayah Gibor Tzaid. By Nimrod, it's written that he was a Gibor Tzaid, he was a great hunter, he was the first idolater, he became exclusive in that. Hu Esav Avi Adom. By Esav it says, Hu Esav Avi Adom. Esav, this was the father of Amalek, technically the grandfather. He was exclusive in his wickedness. Hu Dosan Vaviron. By Dosan Vaviron, the arch enemies against Meshe Rabbeinu. By them it states who. Hu Melech Ochaz. Ochos. By Ahaz it states who. And Hu Ahasuerus. These are the five Lerov. Who are the five Litov? Avram Hu Avraham. It states by Avraham. Avraham was the first to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in this he was exclusive. Hu Moshe Ba'aron, Hu Aaron Ba'Moshe. By Moshe Ba'aron it states who. They were exclusive in their prophecies, in their Geula, redemption from Egypt, and bringing the Torah to Klal Yisrael. By David it states David Hu HaKotem. David was exclusive in Malchus. He became the ultimate in kingship in Israel. Hu Yecheskiyahu. By Yecheskiyahu it states who. Yecheskiyahu, the Maral writes, became exclusive in strengthening Torah and mitzvahs in Israel when it had become very weak. And this is why his name is Yecheskiyahu. Yecheskiyahu means Yechazek Hashem. He went and he strengthened HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He strengthened the Torah and the mitzvahs to Hashem, of Hashem. And then the fifth one was Ezra. Actually, Ezra has a very strong link to the Megillas Esther, because Megillas Esther takes place in the 70th year of the exile from the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel, he invaded Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. He destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, and he sent Klal Yisrael into Golus. This was Golus Babel. And they were there for 70 years. During that time, Nebuchadnezzar and the other kings of Babel succumbed to another empire, and that was the empire of Modar Paras. And that was, they had other kings. They had Koresh, Cyrus the Great, and Dayovash, Arisha, and Darius the First. And then came Ahasuerus. And the story of Esther takes place in the 70th year at the end, because there was a prophecy that Klal Yisrael would be returned to Eretz Yisrael after 70 years. And when Ahasuerus saw that it was 70 years and they weren't returned yet, so he started to become very arrogant with them. Ultimately, after the downfall of Haman and the elevation of Mordechai, so Mordechai influenced, together with his other Haverim, they influenced Ahasuerus. And then later, his son Dayovash, or Achrei, Darius II, to let Klal Yisrael go back to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. This was shortly afterwards. The fact is, it's brought that really they had already started to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, but it was the 10 sons of Haman that were instrumental in getting Ahasuerus to stop them. This is why we take revenge also against the 10 sons of Haman. They were granted permission under Daryovish. Actually, some say, there's a Medrash that states that Daryovish was a son from Esther and Ahasuerus. And they were granted permission to go back. And the one who led them back ultimately was Ezra Sofer. And by Ezra it says who he was exclusive. What was he exclusive in? Because when Klal Yisrael went into Golus, this was the first Golus, the first exile after they had come to Eretz Yisrael, not only did the Torah weaken, but there were many, many mitzvahs that became invalid totally, because there are many, many mitzvahs that one can fulfill only in Eretz Yisrael. Ezra was the one who restored the glory of the Torah to its original place. He brought them back. He established the second Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Torah, where it could be fulfilled in totality. So this is what Ezra was exclusive in. In fact, is the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin that Chof Aleph Amud Beis that Ezra was so great, Roi Hoya Ezra Shetinosen HaTorah Al Yoda, that really Ezra was great enough that had he lived earlier, the Torah could have been given through him. Ela Shehikdimu Meisher Rabbeinu, except Meisher Rabbeinu had already brought Torah into the world. But what Ezra did was he reestablished it. Further, the Medrash states, Reb Rachya B'Shem Rabbonon says, Islon Chad Detov Mikulu. There's another one where it says who emphasizes he, and he's better than everyone. And this is a pasuk in Tehillim Kufay, pasuk Zayin, Hu Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Ha'oretz Mishpotov. But this refers to Hashem. Hu Hashem Elokeinu, he is the God, our Lord, where his laws go through the entire land. And the Medrash says on that, Shemidas Racham on the Olam. He sends his rachamim, his compassion to the world. So, who Achashverosh? This is to emphasize that Achashverosh was exclusive. He was exclusive that he was totally rosho, totally wicked from beginning to end. And there were five that all had this great merit or demerit, and then there were another five that had the great on the opposite side of the pole. They were exclusive in their righteousness. Incidentally, the Maharal asked, why does who, the word who, he designate something which is so exclusive? And he answers, because this is the hey. And we have in Hebrew grammar, what is called the hey hayadia. Hey hayadia means when we want to give something an exclusiveness, we add a hey. This is something comparable in the English language to say the, T-H-E. But it means more. To give it this special emphasis, this exclusiveness. And what is so important about the letter hey? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world with the letter hey, and the Olam Haba, the next world, with the letter yud. This is what the Gemara tells us. The next world is the Olam HaNistar, it's the concealed world, we cannot see it. This world is the Olam HaNigla, it is the revealed world, we can see it. So what do we see? We see that with hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought something into reality where it can be seen and known. And that's why the hey is used as hey ayadia, when we want to give someone a special emphasis and exclusiveness. It is actually like bringing him out where he can be recognized for one thing or the other. So that's one point on the Megillah. Second point, and this is connected to the first point. In Esther, Megillas Esther Zayin, Pasuk Hei and Vav, at the Esther went to the king and she told the king, I want you and Haman to come to the party I'm making today. At that party she told them, I would like you to come to the party that I'm making for you tomorrow. And at that party she said, he wanted to know, the king, what's happening? What do you want to see me about? So she said, this is in Esther Zayin, Hey and Vov. Yeah. Vayove HaMelech v'Haman lishtei siv Esther HaMalka. The king and Haman came to drink with Esther HaMalka. And the king said to Esther, Ma she'loseich Esther HaMalka v'sinosein loch? What is your request that you are asking? And I will give it to you. U'ma v'koshoseich? And what is your... you are requesting, beseeching, at katzia malchus v'seos, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. Matan Esther HaMalko, and Esther HaMalko said, Ima Malach told, if it is good with the king, tinosin li nafshi v'she'elosi v'ami v'vakoshosi, give me my life and the life of my nation. And then she went on to explain that we have been sold to be destroyed. Now in Pasuk Hei it states, Vayema Amelech Achashverosh Vayema Esther Malko. Achashverosh said to Esther. Actually it states twice by Yomer. Vayema Amelech Achashverosh Vayema Esther Malko. Twice he said to her. The Gemara says on that because till now he would never speak directly to her, because he didn't know where she came from. But now at this party she had promised to tell him, which he always wanted to know where she came from. And she said that she's a Bas Melochim, she's a daughter of kings, she had come from the household of Shaul of King Saul. So now he spoke to her directly. Who is this person? Who is this person? That has dared to do this thing.
Atome Esther, and Esther said, Ish tsarve ayev homan alo azeh. Ish tsarve ayev, a man, he's a man who is tsar. He is a man of tsar who causes great trouble. The oyev and an enemy. Homon, the evil hazer, this one. Now there are two questions on this pasuk. Firstly, why is she saying two things? She's saying, Ish tsar ve oyev, homon aro hazer. He's a man, thus and thus, homon, this evil one. She should have said, homon is tsar ve oyev, Horazah, Homan is the enemy, the troublesome enemy, the evil one. She starts by saying, Ish sarve ayev, he's a man who gives great trouble and an enemy. Homan Horazah, Homan this evil one. Secondly, the Hazer at the end really doesn't fit in. He asked her, who is this one? Me who's there, the Ezehu. She should have answered right away, Zehu Homan. Who is this? This is Haman. Instead, she says, he's a troublesome enemy. Haman, the evil, this one.
So we have those two questions on the pasuk. The Gemara brings on this,
and Avtes Zayin, Seif Omer Aleph. Omer Blezer, Melamed Shohayisho Mechava Klapei Achashverosh.
From here we learn that when she said this, she pointed to Ahasuerus, she pointed to the king. And an angel came and slapped her hand, so it pointed towards Haman. And Rashi explains there, and if you look into the Hagos Habach, he says, because of these two questions that we asked on this pasuk and this sentence. Because she's saying two statements, and she says there at the end. She meant to say that there are two people who are trying to kill me and trying to kill our nation. There's an Ish Tsar V'Ayev, and there's Homan Orazeh, the Ish Tsar V'Ayev, the man who is giving us trouble and is our enemy, is you, King Ahasuerus. And Homan, Horoazer, and the evil one is Homan. That's what she meant to say. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw when she was said that, he saw she was endangering her life. You don't speak to a king like this, like that. So he sent an angel, and he slapped her hand so it pointed towards Homan. So it seems like everything he said was to Homan. And the Maral adds, he holds that actually the Malach said Hazer, not her, because Hazer is out of place. Should have been Zer Homan, Ishar Hazer, Ezehu, Zer Homan. Instead she says, Ezehu, who is he? Who is the one? So she said, Ishar V'Ev Homan Hora, this awful man, this evil man, Homan, this one. The Malach was the one who said that, the angel, to divert it away from Ahasuerus. Now that answers the Yukim, what we're asking, and the Pasuk very well now. She was saying two statements. She meant to say there are two enemies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it look like she's saying only one statement, and this he did by sending the angel to push her hand to Haman. The Maral adds on this, though, is what was going on. This was the very instant of the miracle. Why? Because the decree had gone out, to totally annihilate the nation. The only way that they could be saved is through rescinding the decree. The only one who had the power to rescind the decree was Ahasuerus. So Mordechai said, you must go to Ahasuerus, umevakesh al nafsho ve'alamo, and beseech him for your life and the life of your nation. So she had the whole plan. She would fast for 3 days, and then she'd invite him to one party, and they would talk to him at that party, then invite to another party. This was the moment. He said, ma bakoshoseich u'ma sheiloseich. So she said, sheiloseich is tinose nafshi b'sheilosi, give me my life, and v'sami v'bakoshosi, and give me the life of the nation. Because we are under the threat of death by a person. So the proposal was made, and now is the rega, the instant, for Ahasuerus's response. So she held that at this instant, if there is to be a enormous miracle that would save the entire nation of the Yudim, it could not be done by not telling the truth. It could not be done with a lie. Because David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, in Perek Kuf Aleph, Posuk Zayin, Lo yeshe bekerv beisi eisei remiyo, devish korim lo yikain leneged enoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that no one will dwell in my house who deals with deceit, and those who speak lies will not dwell against my eyes. I do not want to see them. So how can it be that she's going to come with lies, and at that instant and from that expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a miracle through her to save the entire Jewish world? And we explained last week, not only the entire Jewish world, the entire world. Because in main Yisrael ain't Torah. If there's no Yisrael, there's no Torah. In main Torah, then there's no world. So therefore she felt she cannot look at Ahasuerus as if he's a tzaddik and say, you're all right, but Haman is the evil man. See? That won't be acceptable by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, at this point, to bring such a great miracle. So she was prepared to say that we are being threatened by two great forces. Ish tzar ve'oyev, and she pointed to Ahasuerus, and Haman Hara. So Malach came, pushed her hand to Haman. So when she said Ish tzar ve'oyev, she was pointing to Haman, Haman Hara, and then he said Hazeh. So she had told the truth. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who diverted it from the truth. And he brought the miracle. We noticed also that her plan was to refer to Ahasuerus as an Ish Tzar Ve'oyev, a man who gives us great tzar, great soros, great trouble, and an enemy. But she was going to refer to Haman as Haman Hora, Haman the evil. Mr. Banal says because every enemy of Klal Yisrael is an enemy. But enemies have reasons. This one could be jealous of Israel. This one could want their money. This one could want this or that, whatever it is. Ahasuerus was an enemy. He was an Ish Tzar Ve'ayiv. But Haman, he was Ra. She called him Haman Hora. He was the ultimate in evil. Hashem Meir Ale Etzim, the name depicts the essence of a person. She referred to him as Haman Hara. He was the essence of evil. And this we explained last week in the Shir on Borah. He had come from Amalek. And Amalek is the essence of Ra. And the Gemara brings that the source of Haman was in the Eitz Hadas Tevara, It comes from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Adam and Chava that on the day you eat from it, Meis Tomus, you will die. And the serpent had its power from that tree. And that was all the source of Haman. And this is why sometimes if someone is an enemy, but he has reasons for it, he can do tshuva. He can repent. But on Haman, that was the ultimate of evil. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed on them Mechir, that on that nation would be total annihilation. Now we come to a third point. It states,
right after this, right after she told him this, it says, the king got up in his anger from the party of wine, Alginas Habishon, and he went out to the garden, to the orchards. And then Haman went and he was pleading for his life. And the king returned. It states that he got up in his anger and he went out, and then he returned. The Gemara says, Makish Kima Leshiva. Just as he went out in anger, he returned in anger, the Gemara says. Why did he return in anger? Actually, he went out to cool off a bit, but he returned in anger. Why did he return in anger? So the Gemara says, this is the Gemara in the same place. The Ozel Eshkach Lemalachi Hashoris, the Idnule Kegavri. When he went out into his private orchards, there he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent angels that looked like people. Ve'ko'akri le'ilnei de'bustanoi. And they were chopping down his beautiful fruit trees. And he asked them, what's going on here? And they said, Haman instructed us to do this. So therefore, Makish Shiva Lekima, just like he got up and went out there in anger, he came back and returned with anger. The Vilna Gaon asked the Kasha. Vilna Gaon asked the Kasha. He says, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? This was a total lies. Total lies. Haman never instructed anybody to chop down Ahasuerus' trees. So what's that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends angels with a whole frame up, a whole setup. They set him up. How's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu do such a thing? She says a very good principle. How did Haman convince Ahasuerus to give him authority to annihilate this whole nation? See, he went and set up Klal Yisrael. He came to Ahasuerus and he said, this is in Pasuk Ches, in the Megillah in Perek Beis, Gimel. There's one nation, Mefuzah Mefered Beinu Amin. And they're this nation which is scattered. They're like the gypsies, they're scattered and they're separated through all the nations. B'chol Medinis Malchusecho, all over your kingdom. Doseyem Shena is Mikol Om. And they do all kind of strange things that differ from all nations. There's Doseya Melech Eina Meisim, and they do not keep the laws of the land. And the Medrash, the Gemara goes in that he told all kind of lies and frauds. He says they do this and they do that and so forth and so on. Velamelech Ein Shevel Anichom, and therefore the king shouldn't keep them. So since Haman had done this, He went and he spoke all kind of Loshon Hara and Laz, Metzi Shemra, slander, against Klal Yisrael that had no Shoroshim, they had no sources of truth whatsoever. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Mido Keneged Mido. He treats the person the way he treats him. And therefore, he went ahead and he sent angels to set Haman up. Then when Ahasuerus came out and he sees his prize fruit tree is being cut down, and he says, "What's going on here?" And they said, "Well, Haman told us to do it." And then the Gaon adds, then he says, "Kimeshikosu," just like we see he did to Parai, as it states, "Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim," that Klal Yisrael emptied out Egypt, and we see this also by Lovim. Then the Gaon says, this is the pshat, because in Tehillim Tzadik Beis, we say this in Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, "Lahagi ki yasor Hashem suri v'le'avlos aboy," to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshor, he's upright, suri, mayrak, v'le'avlos aboy, and there's no crookedness in him. You can ask a kasha. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upright, so that we understand there's no crookedness in him. What does it mean, no, there's no crookedness in him? Say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate judge of justice and uprightness. So we know there's no crookedness in him. Now what does it mean? Because sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do something that's crooked. But you should know it's not really crooked. He's doing something which is crooked against those who did something that's crooked. And the yesher, the justice, requires such a reaction. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. V'hagid ki yosher Hashem, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfectly just. V'lei avlos aboy, and if you see crookedness in him, that's not crookedness, that's the justice. Because these people were distorted the justice and they were crooks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat them the same way. So therefore, Haman set up Klal Yisrael to the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up Haman to the king. Now he mentioned, he says, like we see that he did to Parai and Lovim. Now where did he do this to Parai? This is what the Gaon says. Where did he do this to Parai? He says, like it states, "Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim," that Mitzrayim, they emptied out Mitzrayim. He doesn't explain the Gaon where. We could say one place was the Makas Cheshech. It says one of the reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Klal Yisrael, when they leave Egypt, they should take Egypt with them. Don't leave it behind. Empty out Egypt of all of its wealth and take it with you. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them steal all the money, because the one of the reasons for him to bring the Makas Keshek, it states, the plague of darkness, was that they could go in all of the houses of the Egyptians and see exactly what they have and where they're hiding all of their wealth. So later on, when they come and they say, "Let's have your wealth," the people couldn't say, "Well, we don't have it, or we don't know where it is." So we see here HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them steal from Egypt. This would seem to be an avla, but this is the way you deal with the Egyptians, because look what they had stolen from Klal Yisrael. They went and they were meshabed them, they enslaved them for 210 years or for whatever the calculation was. That's one, perhaps one one item we can, that the Gaon is referring to. There's another item that I am not sure. It states in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I promised Abraham that when you will go free, you will go out with all of the wealth of Egypt. So therefore I command you, Vayashilu, that you should ask your neighbor, every man should ask his neighbor, and every woman should ask her neighbor, her Egyptian neighbor, for their wealth. I'm not sure what the word means, Vayashilu. See, if it means you shall ask them, because the word Sha'el has two meanings. It means to ask, and it also means to borrow. I'm not sure.
If it means to ask, so they went and asked altruite. If it means to borrow, they could have been coming with deceit. They could have been coming and saying, look, we want you to lend us such and such a things for a certain amount of time. And this was only to get their hands on it. Then certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to do something that was devious. And this would be, again, what the Gaon is referring to. I'm not sure, though, what the word means. But with this, perhaps we can answer another question that we had here. This question was raised here in the Beis HaMedrash last year, during the Parshish of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I remember it was asked around, and at that time we had the schools for Rabbi Aloy was still living. And they asked him the question. He didn't have an answer either. We see consistently that Moshe and Aaron were instructed to go to Parai, to tell Parai that you must leave us go 3 days into the desert because we have to sacrifice to Hashem, and then we will come back. And this is what he was instructed continually to tell Parai. And Parai kept trying to make a deal. He says, all right, take the men, but not the women, not the children. And he says, no, we have to take everyone. Because all have to participate in the Kabbalah Hashem. And then he says, all right, don't take the cattle. He says, we need to take the cattle because we don't know what sacrifices we'll have to make, and so forth and so on. Meanwhile, this was not the intent whatsoever, because once they were going to walk out of Egypt, they were never going to come back. So the question was asked is that, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did he tell Moshe and Aaron to speak to Parai in such a manner, in a devious form? This could be the way it's going. Because he came upon Israel with deviousness. This was his whole plan, his whole strategy. It states, I mean, how was it possible all of a sudden that he enslaved the whole nation? It wasn't that way. It was little by little they got the confidence of the Hebrews that were there, and they told them that, look, what we're doing is good for you, and so forth and so on. And slowly they took over the nation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the yosher, this is the justice in which the way you deal with him also. You tell him you're going out for 3 days and you'll come back. With Lavan, he mentions Lavan also. Well, there, we know that Yaakov was prepared. But what does it mean that Hashem? There he could be referring to, because Yaakov made a deal with Lavan. He said, I want to go back home. Now, give me my wages. What are the wages you want? He says, you take all the sheep and the goats that you want and leave these for me. And when they give birth, so there'll be the spotted ones and the speckled ones and the striped ones, they'll belong to me. And Lavan thought it's a very, very fair deal. Meanwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped Yaakov turn the tables on him, where all of a sudden the flock gave enormous birth to all of these, and Yaakov ended up being a very, very wealthy man. And Lavan was the Ramai. Lavan was the devious one. In the Torah it states that Yaakov says that he deceived me aser monim, not 10 times, but 10 times 10, 100 times he had deceived Yaakov. So this is what is meant, that lahagi ki yoshar Hashem tsuri v'leav losabay, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yoshar, he is perfectly straight and just. If you see something that doesn't look exactly straight, it's leav losabay, it's not crooked. That's the justice for that particular situation. Therefore, when Ahasuerus went out to the orchard, and Hashem had sent angels looking like people to cut down the trees, and they said that we are under the instructions of Haman, he was dealing with Haman exactly the way Haman should. The justice requires that Haman be dealt with. These are the three notes on the Megillas Esther for this evening.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.